This is Rediscover Live from Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And I'm so glad you're able to join us today as we continue our series called Holy. God is a holy God and He wants us to be holy too. Amen. I just read a quote yesterday by Augustine. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And that is a fact. The restlessness, the uncertainty, the confusion of our age is in many respects, you know, manifest evidence of how we have tried to do life without God and how everything is, including our society in general, is coming apart at the seams. Because without God, nothing makes sense. And this is why Isaiah chapter 6 grips me each time I read it, for it describes in vivid detail another world, a holy world, a perfect world, a world where our eyes are open to just how great God is and how small and insignificant man is. It's interesting that according to Isaiah, the first characteristic of God isn't love. Yes, He is love, but the seraphim don't cry out love, 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 or power, power, power. Day and night they cry out holy, holy, holy. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they say it not once, but they repeat it over and over again. One word, just one word, holy. God is both revealing and emphasizing a crucial aspect of His being. He wants us to understand something about His character, and that is, He is holy. I believe He's revealing this to us not to condemn or intimidate us, but because He wants us to know Him. And so He shares this secret with us. I'm a holy God, and those who walk before me must be holy too. It's interesting that the seraphim cover their face and their feet, symbolic of both humility and separation, and something that really is often lacking in us in this narcissistic generation, and I would even include in the ministry. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. God as He is, not God as we might want Him to be or misunderstand Him to be. As a consequence of our dead and lifeless traditions and rituals, we must start with this understanding. He is God. And in what's an increasingly immoral, confused, and unholy world, it's embarrassing to hear ministers pull back from proclaiming the full gospel, presenting a compromised, sugar-coated, I'm okay, you're okay, love, hope, and good feelings gospel that neglects to ever mention repentance, obedience, or holiness. And yes, the gospel will make you feel wonderful. The knowing Christ will fill you with joy. Yes, the Word of God will inspire you to make progress and to do great things in His name. But let's never forget that repentance, obedience, and holiness are key to the message that Christ preached. So the question I want to ask is, are we somewhere better than Christ? Because He was very clear and unapologetic in His call to both repentance and faith. Mark 1:15, the time has come, He said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And so He gave both. It was a message of repentance and faith. So why do some only preach half of Christ's message? We must turn from sin as well as turn to Christ, or otherwise we are guilty of idolatry, afraid of offending a world that is either ignorant of or has already rejected God's moral law. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And this is why we talk of the love of God, but not of the wrath of God, the help of God, but not the holiness of God. We talk about benefits, but not expectations. We tell people to sign up, but not sell out. But the very first thing that Christ called for was commitment. Matthew 16:24 to 26, then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in return for his soul? And so, let's not forget that God is a holy God and that just as He gave His all for us, He expects us to give our all for Him. Grace is free, but it wasn't cheap. It cost Christ His very life. God gave us his very best, and God forbid that we should give him any less. In light of this, the question is the Bible a manual on how to be happy or how to be holy? Well, I believe it's both. I do believe God wants